As a small business owner, have you ever felt overwhelmed by the pressure of choosing the right hire or leading a team? Or have you ever found yourself tolerating a bad hire because you fear trying and failing again as you repeat the hiring process? If so, you're not alone, and you are in the right place. Welcome to the Growing Your Team podcast. The Growing Your Team podcast teaches business owners like you to expand your unique business by teaching you to master the hiring and team management process. Hiring and managing a team does not have to be a challenge. You just have to learn to do it right. And the Growing Your Team podcast teaches you how to become a confident leader who hires right every single time. Now, let's jump into the show where each episode you will learn tips on how to identify what type of help you need on your team, how to source amazing candidates, how to conduct interviews that lead you to your ideal team member, how to onboard successfully, and how to lead every person in your business so you have a team of rock stars who you are happy to pay every single paycheck. So let's jump in and teach you how to hire like a pro. Hello, Jimmy Van Kuyk here, and welcome back to the Growing Your Team podcast. Today, I want to talk about an article that I recently read on Yahoo Finance. This article, from the initial thing when I read the headline, had me saying, Yes, this is so true. And I was so glad when I read through the article that it took this topic and really talked about small business impact instead of just business in general. So what am I talking about? I am talking about the fact that businesses are losing key employees when they become parents due to childcare. And this doesn't necessarily mean that someone is deciding that they want to stay at home, but the simple process, simple in words, because anyone who's gone through it will say it's not simple, of finding and sometimes even then affording childcare in order to work is extremely difficult. And the reason why I was like nodding my head yes before I ever even opened the article was childcare is a part of my story of how I started running this business, how I formed Growing Your Team. Now, Growing Your Team wasn't the first business that I formed after leaving my corporate job, but that business eventually led me to this. But I left my corporate job when I did, because childcare became a factor. And if you haven't heard that full story, I believe I shared it, I know at least once, the very, very first episode of this podcast. I've shared it on a few other podcasts, but to give you the quick highlight version, it was after I returned to work, after having my second child, my mom was watching my baby, and my parents are snowbirds. They spend part of the year down here in Florida with us, part of the year up in New York, where we're originally from. And so I always knew there was kind of like an expiration date of when my mom would be able to watch my daughter because she would be returning to New York for the summer. And so I knew I had to find other childcare for at least the summer period, if not permanently. And our oldest daughter at that time was in a full-time preschool. And so obviously the baby can't go to preschool. And for our oldest daughter, when she was in daycare before she started at the preschool, it was one of those situations where it was great until there was a complete 180 and it was horrible and we had to get her out of there as soon as possible. It's one of those situations where you're like, something happened to my child today, but my child's not able to talk and communicate. So what are our options? What do we do? And so anyway, I was really kind of hesitant with putting my now new baby in a daycare where maybe the same thing could occur. And so I was very, very particular of the places that I inquired to see if they had openings. And I had a very short list of a lot of research that I had done, places that I felt just comfortable enough to contact. And one by one, checking those ones or really crossing them off the list because no openings, no openings, no openings. And finally, the last one on the list, I receive an email saying that they have an opening. And the day I received this email was just a tough day at work. My boss had pissed me off. My team, who was a hands-down fantastic team all around, but it was just one of those days where it's like every time I thought I had a second to breathe, one of them is there needing something. And everything that they needed was stuff that they should legitimately come to me for. Like this is not stuff they should have been handling on their own. It was all stuff they needed to loop me in on, all stuff that they needed my input or my guidance or me to do something to help them get to that next step. So it wasn't like they were being a needy team per se of, oh my gosh, do this on your own. It was just constant. So I'm in just this thing of overwhelm. Like I said, my boss pissed me off, my team, every time I turn around, they're needing something new. I can't get anything done that I want to get done. And here I am, I see this email, I'm so excited at first. And then they're like, and the spot will be available in 8 months. And I just sat there and looked at it and I was just like, but I need someone in 2 months. And it was also in there under one room. And I was like, and in 8 months, my child's not even going to be under one. So that I can't even take that spot if I had the ability to wait. And it was then and there, I broke down into tears and I said, that's it. I'm becoming a stay-at-home mom. And then I quickly said, no, that is not something that will ever really be a passion of mine, really bring me joy that I like working. I like the challenge. I like the strategy. I like all that stuff that being a working woman brings me, and I don't want to stay home and just be a mom. Like for me, that wasn't an option. For so many people, that is like, that is a fantastic option. For me, it wasn't. And it was that then and there that I decided, okay, this is it. What can I do? I'm going to start a business while at home with my 8-month-old. And that was it. I did a lot of thought process because I'm a planner. Took about 2 weeks before turning in my notice, then turned in about a month and a half notice that I'd be leaving come June. And I then left the corporate world to start my own business. But even though I knew that was something I was always going to do eventually, start my own business, the reason it happened then was because of childcare. If I didn't receive that rejection email then and there, would I have left? I probably would not have left then. Would I have eventually left? Most likely. Majority of, or pretty much almost all of the leadership team that I love there is no longer there at that organization. So I probably would have eventually left and found something new or started my own business. But I wouldn't have left then if it wasn't for childcare. And so this article that I brought up, that I will share the link in the show notes, was talking all about how companies are building more childcare centers into their office environments and things like that in order to keep their top performers, in order to hold on to working parents. So this helps in multiple ways. First, parents can be near their children. You don't have to worry about the commute after dropping off or picking up your child, which means you can potentially spend more time with your child or also not have to have your child in daycare so long. Because I know when my child was in daycare or even in preschool, it was a 30-minute drive from when I dropped them off to when I got to the office with traffic, which meant I had to be out of the office at a certain time to go pick up by the time daycare got out. But the one thing, as I was starting to read this article, I was like, okay, childcare centers, that cost money. So this is a big business thing, right? What can we do as small businesses to help with this and to keep our employees or to support employees that are looking for working options that help them with their childcare needs. I know I've worked with a lot of female business owners over the years who are moms that their main reason for starting their business was because they wanted a more flexible option, or they wanted something that allowed them to really be the mom that they wanted to be while still being the worker and everything. And they then wanted to create an environment that allowed other parents to do this as well. But what can we do as small businesses? And first I was like, okay, Yahoo Finance, this is probably a big business article. It's going to talk about all these things and go about all these big businesses and what they're doing. And then I came to this paragraph that I was like, yes, yes, thank you. So when we look at the segments of businesses that are doing something in this area around childcare, and this thing around childcare can look a little bit different for the different businesses, and we'll get into that in a minute, but the businesses are doing something around there. Large businesses, so those with 1,000 or more workers, are the ones most likely to offer on-site childcare. That makes sense. 1,000 plus employees, you can offer it. Some of these companies aren't even offering it necessarily for free, but simply the fact that it's there makes it so people feel valued because they're close to their kids. But here is the surprising thing. Micro businesses, so businesses with 1 to 24 workers, are the second most likely group of businesses to have some sort of in-house childcare service for their employees. And so it's one of those things where we're thinking about, what can we do for our employees? These benefits that we think are for big businesses aren't necessarily just for big businesses. They might look different in small businesses, but we're not excluded from being able to provide benefits that our team members want, that they are going to really value. So, as I mentioned, offering this type of benefit around childcare might look different for different companies. And maybe if you have one employee that has one child, having an on-site childcare center might not necessarily make sense because you need a dedicated space, you need the dedicated staff. Does it make sense to offer it as a benefit, even if it's just simply there and they have to pay for it? No, that doesn't always make sense. We don't even always have the space for it. So there's other things that can be done that can make it so people feel empowered when it comes to the arrangements for their children versus thinking that childcare and work compete. So one of the things that you can do if your business allows this is sometimes flexible work arrangements. There are people that have, I know personally, that have made the decision long before COVID to work from home and have a nanny that's taking care of their child. But because they're working from home, they can be there if they're a nursing mother to nurse their child, you know, during those early months and everything, that they can then see their child during lunch breaks and things like that. So they feel more connected, even though most of the day they're in a closed off office getting work done. There are also things where making the hours appropriate for childcare for those team members. So this is brings me back or reminds me of one of the teams that I managed in corporate. It just so happened majority of this team had kids, and with the schedules of daycare pickup and school pickup and everything, my team needed to be able to leave fairly early in order to be able to make it to pick up on time based on where they lived, especially once their kids were in school and they're going maybe to their zone schools versus just being able to have them someplace close to the office. So one of the flexible options I was able to provide was they came in early and then they left early. So my entire team would be gone by 4:30, but they were getting all their work done. And I remember someone saying, well, my team stays until around 6 o'clock and they don't think it's fair that your team's leaving early. And I was like, Well, my team all arrives between 7 and 7:30 because maybe their spouses or their significant other was doing drop off, but they're doing that so that way they can leave at 4:30. All their work gets done and they help each other out. So this is the schedule that allows them to be the parent that they want to be. So there's different things that you can do that make it so people feel valued. I know there's always this big thing around, well, if my team members are working remotely and their kids are around, it means they're going to be distracted. So with this, there's a few things I want to say. First off, every child's different. Every household dynamic is different. So some children are going to be more of a distraction than others. Hands down, no way around it. There are some children that people are never going to be able to get work done if those children are around. And then there's other children that it might look different than if you were working without that child there, but you're able to be very productive and you're just, people are able to balance it really well, the needs. So in most cases, there needs to be some level of support or help or kids in daycare or school and stuff in order for a person to be really, really focused at home. Just because when children are super young, they do need more eyes on them versus just tending to their needs when they need something. But as a whole, one of the things I will say is that kids in the house are less of a distraction than coworkers in the office. And I know that seems like it shouldn't be the case, but it is. When my husband first started working from home, he was going into the office a few days a week just because, or to collaborate with his team members, but technically his job was 100% remote. And he, at one point, was like, well, you're going to have to figure out what to do with the kids on those days because he needed to focus when he was home. Which I was sitting there and saying, I'm running my own business. I'm working too. You know, I know I have flexibility, but I still need to work. But I did tell him, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take out a piece of paper and put a tally mark on it every time the kids distract you. And then I want you to do it when you're in the office next time, every time you're distracted by something in the office. And this doesn't mean the kids coming up and talking to him. It just means even if they're in the other room that they're making noise that's pulling him away from what he's focusing on. Things that the kids walk in and they're talking to me and he's looking over to join in the conversation, even though the kids weren't directly speaking to him, they came in to talk to me. And then in the office, every time a noise goes on in the office that pulls your eyes away from the computer, every time you're leaning over to listen to a conversation because two of your team members are talking about something that you might be able to provide input on, every time someone stops you to ask a question, every time you get up to go to the bathroom and it's not straight to the bathroom and back, because you run into someone in this hallway where then a conversation starts. And what he realized, which is what I tried to tell him, coworkers in the office are way more distracting than kids at home. So just because someone has their kids at home and they're working home remotely doesn't mean their kids are going to be a huge distraction and they're not going to be able to get their work done. Of course, there needs to be some sort of boundaries in place. For example, depending on your business, it might not be appropriate for kids to be climbing all over someone while they're having a client meeting. You know, the occasional kid that comes in, you can't really help that. Just like you can't help the occasional coworker that comes in when you're having a meeting and or you're on the phone. But the constant is a little bit of a different story. But the other thing is you could really need ways to measure their productivity. You should be able to tell if someone is doing their job and getting the work done that needs to get done, no matter if they're in the office or at home. And that doesn't mean you're micromanaging them. It doesn't mean you're watching for movement of the mouse through apps or whatever you're installing on their computer. It means measuring the actual productivity of their work. You know, we talk about in one of the episodes, looking at the schedule, I think it's the episode that just came out last week with Marcel, we talk about ways of measuring productivity and profitability and everything in the office. So those are great ways to measure to see if your team members are actually working when they're home. So people, when they're working remotely or they're working flex hours or things like that, can be very productive. Another thing that I don't necessarily think this is the best thing, but some people love it, is they come in, they work while the kids are in school. They then go and do their pickup. And then after the kids go back to bed or go to bed, they're jumping back online to finish things up for the day. The reason why I don't necessarily like that and wouldn't say, hey, this is a schedule you should have your employees do, is I don't think it gives you the long enough break away from work to really refresh. But allowing people to do that, if that's what's going to make them happy, works, because they get to be the person picking up their kids. They get to be there and focused during dinner time and homework time, but they're still jumping back on to complete the work that they need for you. So if you can figure out a way to provide on-site care, that is great. It's actually shown to really increase your retention rates. But if you can't provide on-site childcare, find out some other way where you can allow parents to be parents and balance that with the productivity and the work output that you need from them. You're never too small to start providing great benefits to your team members. And this is one of those benefits that truly matters, because a lot of the workforce is working parents. And when we allow working parents to be both great parents and great team members, we're going to see great results. We're going to have team members that want to stay with us. We're going to have team members that are happy. And it really is good for your business and your success when your team members are happy and you're able to retain your staff. All right. So I know this is very long for what we normally do on a solo episode. So I'm going to wrap it up here. But just remember, offer benefits to your team members that make a difference to them. And childcare is one of those benefits that makes a difference to your team members if they have children. So figure out something that works for your business and for your team members. And that wraps up this episode of the Growing Your Team podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. And if your favorite podcast app has the ability, leave a review and let us know what you love about the show. As you wait for the next episode, be sure to follow Growing Your Team on Instagram at Growing Your Team, or head on over to growingyourteam.com to access more resources and learn how Growing Your Team can support you as you master the art of hiring.